sometimes been said around EPA that regulation of nanotechnology is kind of a big hole, and if you don't tread carefully, you're going to fall. I decided to live that when I came here yesterday to enjoy the well-maintained streets of Nashville, and here I am, but soldiering on here. Okay, as you see, my title is Regulation of Nanotechnology. It's a TSCA perspective. TSCA is the Toxic Substances Control Act. And I'm an attorney at EPA, and one of the things they teach you when you're an attorney is how to lower expectations, and I'm about to do that. Now, I'm here supposedly representing the U.S. government and talking about development of governance. I can hardly talk about development of governance for the entire U.S. government. I can't even talk about development of government for the entire Environmental Protection Agency. My area is toxic substances and pesticides, and I'm going to mostly talk about toxics. So it's just a little piece of that, but I'm sure some of the other people here working in U.S. government could say that the same issues that we are facing are ones that they are facing. And Barbara, you did me a favor. I get to skip two of my slides because you just covered them, so that makes things easy. Now let's talk about EPA. And EPA is trying to do a number of things in terms of nanotechnology. As you see, we're trying to provide leadership to the U.S. and global community in environmental applications and implications of nanotechnology. A lot of stuff is going to be coming to us before it comes anywhere else. To support research through the NNI and other areas, and to help build a research community through cross-collaborations. Next, we are going to be addressing nanotechnology as appropriate under our statutes to protect human health and the environment. And we will work with industry and NGOs to facilitate responsible development and realize potential environmental benefits of nanotechnology. Nanotechnology has been compared a lot to biotechnology. In biotechnology, 20 years ago, we had a lot of uncertainty, and I think we proceeded a little bit differently, in a more insular fashion. I think we've learned a lot now, and we have a much more cooperative and broad-based approach to working on that. So we are working, you know, directly with all parties, with researchers, with industry, with NGOs, and they are working together. And it's our hope that we'll really change the approach and the ability to forge something like a consensus on how to deal with nanotechnology. Now, EPA, of course, is a creature of statute. We have a number of statutes that will address environmental risks. And I'm just going to summarize them here. The Clean Air Act, of course, is dealing with basically air pollution and similar issues to that. Under the Clean Air Act, you don't really have an issue. If you have a nanosubstance, there's no issue unless it's a pollutant of some kind, unless it's getting into the air and turns out to be a problem. Clean Water Act, similarly, for water effluent. Resource Conservation and Recovery Act deals with the waste end. Barbara was talking about life cycle. Well, waste comes towards the end of that life cycle, and often you don't know what the problems are going to be until you are at the end of that life cycle. And going further on that is the CERCLA, the Superfund statute, where you've got long-standing pollutants, and you're trying to figure out how to clean them up. So all those statutes are things where nanotechnology is likely to arise, but for the most part, it's going to be a little further down the road. We have two statutes that deal more with upfront evaluation of risk. That's FIFRA, Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act, dealing with pesticides generally, and Toxic Substances Control Act, or TSCA. Most of the issues that we've been facing have been in TSCA. And the reason TSCA is the vanguard is, as I mentioned, there has not been a lot of opportunity for consideration of regulatory issues under the pesticides, air, water, and waste statutes. You know, that will change soon, but we haven't been there yet. And one thing TSCA is that most of the other statutes don't give you. TSCA was designed to give you a holistic look at chemicals. It's not just, all right, when it gets into air, we'll look at that. When it gets into water, we'll look at that. TSCA is intended to take a complete look at what the risks are and also what the benefits are from a particular substance, evaluate that, and take some kind of action, sometimes in advance, if necessary. Thus, TSCA is really the first vehicle that EPA is using to screen and, if necessary, regulate the products of nanotechnology. We're in the early stages, like everyone else is, of dealing with nanotechnology, and that poses significant challenges for us in figuring out how to regulate. We have to know what it is we're regulating. What is a nanosubstance? You know, people have talked about there's the NNI definition of nanotechnology. Is that a TSCA definition of nanotechnology? Is there such a thing as one kind of nanotechnology? What are we looking at? Are we looking at all forms of the substance? And let me give you another example of that. People talk about nanotechnology as something within 100 nanometer range or not. Well, some of the things that we've looked at, what you see is a particle size distribution. You may see some subset of the particles that are below 100 nanometers or well below 100 nanometers, then some subset, maybe 80 or 90% of them, are actually above 100 nanometers in size. Do we have nanotechnology there or do we not? And does it matter whether we call it nanotechnology or not? All these are questions we're struggling with right now. Furthermore, if we are then going to take some kind of action with respect to a nanochemical, what is the trigger for that action? How do we define it? You know, nanotechnology, again, in my mind, is a very squishy term. If we're going to take something that applies to all of nanotechnology or even specific substances, we need to know how to define that, how to limit the area that we're trying to govern. That's what governance is, trying to figure out what you're going to govern. And we're still, as I say, in the early stages of that. What products do we need to control? Where are the risks? Where are the exposures? What are the attributes of those products that we need to control? Do we need control at the manufacturing stage? Do we need control at the consumer exposure stage? Do we need controls on disposal? All of that is something that's very difficult for us. And in TSCA, where we have the biggest ability to control that is when the chemical is new, which I'll talk about in a minute. But there are two ways in which we're trying to build our capacity to figure out the answers to these challenging questions. And first, as I mentioned, is new chemical review. And I'll talk in a moment about what we do when a chemical comes in the door. The second is a non-regulatory program. We're developing something called the Nanotechnology Stewardship Program, which I will talk about shortly, but it's a voluntary program to help build our knowledge as to what's out there, what kinds of exposures are out there, what are the chemical characteristics of what's out there. EPA, under TSCA, divides the world of chemicals into new and existing chemicals. When TSCA was first administered in the late 1970s, we put together something called the TSCA inventory. We asked the manufacturers and processors to tell us what are they making and what are they using. And we put that into an inventory of, you know, several dozen thousand different chemical substances. Under TSCA, if somebody is going to manufacture or import something that's not on the TSCA inventory, it is a new chemical. And new chemicals, for the most part, need to be submitted to EPA as something called pre-manufactured notifications, or PMNs. And under PMN, we then go ahead and try to evaluate to the best that we can what's the potential exposure, what's the potential risk, and we have some regulatory vehicles for taking action if it looks like there's going to be a problem. Now, what does this mean for nanochemicals? If you have something that's been around on the inventory for a number of years, and now somebody's making it in a different form, where you've got a different particle size, and maybe that nanoparticle has novel properties that were deliberately engineered under the NNI nanotechnology definition. Does that make it a new chemical under TSCA? There have been various calls, both in the U.S. and elsewhere, that all nanochemicals should be considered to be new chemicals. You know, I believe the FDA petition includes that. There's been calls in the U.K. for that, and we certainly had environmental groups coming to EPA and ask for that. We are still struggling with that question. We are still trying to figure out to what extent do the properties that make a chemical a nanochemical mean that that chemical is new just by for the nano reasons under TSCA. We are working on draft policy guidance on that. I can't say when that's about to come out, but it's one of our biggest questions right now. Another challenge that we have with new chemicals is we do have exemptions for review under the PM manufacturing notification, and they are things that maybe don't apply so well to nanochemicals. There's a low volume exemption, because there's been the indication in the past that low volume does mean likely less risk, and low exposure or low environmental release exemptions. So now if we have something come in as a nanochemical where you may have a whole bunch of surface area and risk that comes from that surface area, but it's still manufactured in a low volume, does it apply for that low volume exemption? That is another challenge for us, one we're still trying to figure out, but I do need to say something to kind of alleviate some of the concerns that people have. Under these low volumes and low exposure release exemptions, people still have to submit an application to EPA. It's got usually less detail than what comes in for the PMN and a shorter review period. But we still have the ability to say, well, we don't know enough about that application to let it through. So just because something's coming in as a low volume or low exposure release exemption does not mean that it's given a free pass and there's no problem. Now, to go to the stewardship program, as I say, we really need to build our capacity and to build our capacity as quickly as possible. And there are several things we want to do from a stewardship program. As I say, it would help us understand the issues and provide guidance to industry to the extent that we can give it during the early stages of commercialization. I think it was Barbara who talked about getting it right the first time. Well, that's what we're trying to help industry do. And it could serve as an umbrella, providing consistent approach for both new and existing chemical nanomaterials, and it would help to accelerate early development of test data needed to improve scientific understanding. And basically what the stewardship program does is we'll have companies give us information which is very similar to what we get under the PMN program for new chemicals under TSCA. It may be chemicals that we couldn't even get under TSCA for whatever reason. It might be chemicals that are not ready for commercialization, so people normally would not be submitting a formal PMN under Section 5 of TSCA. But they're giving us kind of early warning of this information under the stewardship program. So that will help inform EPA, again, what's out there, what do people know about it, how do they characterize the information that they have. In the stewardship program, we're coming up with a list of characteristics that we want the companies to tell us. But even that list is a bit fluid. I mean, what do you need to know about nanochemicals that's different than you might need to know about something with more conventional chemistry? And we want to establish, of course, a sound science basis for EPA's approach by getting as much information as possible. And I'm not going to go through all these milestones, but just to let you know that we do hope to get this thing moving fairly quickly. This is the government. Nothing goes at warp speed here. We have to get information collection requests from OMB and get everybody to buy in, etc. So, we're really hoping next year to get this thing going full-blown.